Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Merle Exit. And I'm here in sunny, very sunny, extremely sunny Bellingham, Washington. Not D.C., but the state of Washington versus the state of confusion. Although it's been quite confusing with so much food. I'm on a food tour, a culinary tour here in Bellingham. Oh, yes. Every 15 minutes we eat because we're getting just a little bit woozy, you know. So anyway, right here now it's like it's 6 p.m. Here, and the show I'm going to be talking about not just the culinary tour, but one of the, I guess, part of Bellingham, that area. That's known as Fairhaven, and some more all kinds of stuff about food. You just never know. Oh, wait a minute. Have 15 minutes gone by? No, we just finished eating chocolate. we just had some more chocolate. And before I put on my first guest, I have to, of course, break for a chocolate commercial.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at brownies.com. So here I am in the Silver Reef Hotel Casino and Spa, and that's where I'm doing the show, somewhere in somebody's office, and we have our first guest on the phone. We're going to talk all about this area of Fairhaven, aren't we? Aren't we?
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good evening. None of them.
It's been a long day, Merle. But
you know,
you've been eating so much, you couldn't possibly even know what time it is.
Oh, my God. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, this is like, I always call this like fam tours, like forever a meal.
Yes.
But this is like, 15 minutes have gone by. I feel a little weak. Is there a snack around?
Well, you'll be able to say when you leave Bellingham and Whatcom County, you'll be able to say that you came here and you ate it.
That's true.
And
so what I want to do is talk about this wonderful little town, like, well, it's part of Bellingham.
Yes.
But
Fairhaven.
It's Fairhaven.
Right.
So, introduce yourself.
Well, okay.
Yeah, tell everybody who you are.
Who the hell are you?
I'm
Connie Shannon, and my husband and I own the Fairhaven Village Inn, which is a 22-room hotel here in Fairhaven, which Fairhaven is a historic district of Bellingham, Washington, right here on Bellingham Bay. And it was its own town at the turn of the century, and so that's why this district looks like it's a little town all by itself, is because it was a town at one time. And over the years became part of Bellingham, consolidated so that it could be a really big town. Now, you got to understand, this is like maybe 65,000 people at the most, so we're not really big. But just so I can place you geographically, for the folks who don't know, is that Bellingham is is on Bellingham Bay, kind of halfway between Seattle and Vancouver, British Columbia. So right up I-5, Bellingham is an easy stop-off point before or after you come over the border. And because we are, have this fabulous location of being Whatcom County, all the way from Bellingham Bay to Mount Baker, which is a world-class skiing and snowboarding mountain, we just are in the sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we really are. So Fairhaven itself.
Do you know what the history is of Fairhaven?
The history of what?
Fairhaven.
Sure. Fairhaven, like I say, became a town in the mid-1800s, and it was originally a logging town because the huge trees went right down to the water. So as people began to settle here, the first thing they did was, of course, the product that they had, both to build with and also to market, was logging. So you can actually see pictures of huge log barges that were compiled here on Bellingham Bay and were floated down to Seattle to build the original cities, the original towns of Seattle. So it originally started out as a logging town, and then it became a mining town. And we have wonderful trails here that were mining log roads, mining and log roads.
Yeah, there was that wonderful boardwalk, isn't it? That's
yes, yeah.
Although I can't say it's really boardwalk. A lot, most of it was cement. I'm going, yes. What boardwalk are they talking about?
Well, those are locals talking because, you know, we're living in the past, lot here. Even when we get rid of the boardwalk and it's now a cement platformed walk, people still call it the boardwalk. But it is Taylor Avenue Dock. And it goes out over Bellingham Bay, a walk from Fairhaven to Boulevard Park. And then if you stay on that trail, you get to downtown Bellingham. So the trail system is a fabulous piece of Bellingham. And like I say, a lot of those trails were made possible because of logging trails and also railroad mining trails that were initially part of Fairhaven and Bellingham. And then actually...
Okay, Amtrak comes in, right? Is that
Amtrak? Yes. Actually, Fairhaven is a bit of a transportation hub in that the Amtrak station is right here. So if you're traveling from Seattle to Vancouver or from Northern California, Oregon, up the coast, we're a stop here within a walk of the Fairhaven Village Inn. And additionally, the Alaska State Ferry, which is run by the state of Alaska, it's part of their transportation system, also leaves here from Fairhaven, a few blocks from the Fairhaven Village Inn. And so lots of folks who live in Alaska, this is part of their major transportation strategy. So they're
cool.
Either moving or coming back and forth or visiting or transporting goods or lots of military folks taking
that. Or transporting ice and snow.
No, we require that they leave that there because, we want snow on Baker, but not here in the Bay.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I have to tell you, the Alaska State Ferry, while it's it's not fancy, it's not a cruise, it's a fabulous way to go and see Alaska. You get on your sweatshirt and your blue jeans, and my husband and I did it last June, and we just had a wonderful time. So I recommend taking a look at the Alaska, if somebody's thinking about wanting to do that, coming to see us at the Fairhaven Village Inn and then jumping on that ferry, and they can go to Sitka or Wrangell or Juneau lots of great places.
Yeah, I've been to Sitka. But it's not. I forgot how they pronounce it.
Sitka.
It's not exactly Sitka. It's the way they pronounce it, like Sitka or something.
With a different accent. Sitka.
Yeah, but it's because it's the, I guess, Indian or Native American word
pronunciation. Yeah, would imagine.
But anyway, just get back to this.
Yeah.
What I want to do is talk about downtown Fairhaven. What do you got there for us?
Well, this is a six block area, which is totally walkable. If you come and park your car, if you stay at the inn, for instance, there are 22 different places to eat within walking distance of the hotel, all the way from hot dogs, some of them vegetarian hot dogs, some of them regular old-fashioned hot dogs, to Asian food, to Italian food, to, of course, fish, lots of great fish, old-fashioned steakhouses, and really and truly, it's one of the things that makes a stay really special for a guest, because they could stay for several days and not eat the same thing twice, which I'm sure you're not doing either.
Yeah, right.
So the restaurants are truly truly a treasure. And then, of course, interwoven into that are just dozens and dozens of really wonderful, unique shops that, you know, since Fairhaven really was its own town at one time, it really is still its own town. It has a library, okay. It has a grocery store, it has a post office. So it's not a tourist trap. It's a town for the people who live here. We have some funky little festivals that we have all through the year. One of them is called Dirty Dan Days, and the story is that Dan Harris, our main street is named Harris Avenue, that Dan Harris was one of the founding fathers of Fairhaven, and he was a man of substantial reputation, let's say. He and one of his buddies built the Fairhaven Hotel. Not this hotel, it is now gone, but it was here in Fairhaven. And there was some dispute at some point, and Dan said, and I think his partner invited him to leave. And he and some of his buddies were drinking in the bar one night and decided that the piano really belonged to him. And the owner said, no, you can't take it. And, of course, Dirty Dan and his buddies took the piano out on its wheels and wheeled it down the hill into Bellingham Bay, so the story goes. So I tell you all that because we have a festival called Dirty Dan Days in April, and we actually have piano races on Harris Island.
Oh, shit.
Mind you, you know that now this is a 4-minute race, so you have to be there. If they say it's going to be at 12:04, you have to be there at 12:04 because it's a short race, but it's great fun. And, you know, we do it because it's fun, and it's not very organized, but that's part of the serendipity of being here. So we have festivals like that year-round for ourselves, for locals, and we have the Rain Festival in February.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that usually is around poetry and judging fine rain gear garb, and usually the children come out for that. And so movies on Saturday nights all summer long, just across the street from the Fairhaven Village Inn on the Village Green, shown up on the side of a building.
Oh, yeah, I saw that there.
Yeah.
I didn't see a movie, but I saw that was there. I thought it was pretty cool that you do that.
You know, the odd thing about that is that there are movies that you, I'm sure, have seen 5 or 10 times, and it's just not the same as sitting out in the evening.
Sit outside and...
On the outside having some popcorn or, you know, sitting with your friends and being outdoors. Yes. Well, you saw how big the green was. It's not a huge park. It's basically a patch.
Right.
There were 650 people
sitting
on that green for Mamma Mia, the other way. Yes.
Oh, I can imagine. Were
it
people singing along?
Oh my goodness. Oh, yes. We had little dancing lessons and everything. It was
goodness. That would have been great. I would have loved that. You know what I want to kind of get? We did this... This dessert, the dessert thing.
The dessert dash?
Yeah, the dessert dash. What were the, we went to, I'm trying to remember now.
Well, I wasn't invited along, so I didn't. but I hear. You went to Skylarks, right?
Right.
Which
he's going to be calling in.
Oh, well, you'll talk to
Actually,
you'll talk to Don White. Don will remember. You can ask him all of the ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, of course, has great desserts.
But I want to just quickly, because I had somebody was starting to call in. What I quickly want to get to is to tell everybody about the hotel itself.
Mm-hmm.
Your hotel.
The hotel was built 12 years ago, in the spirit of the turn of the century. And it's right in the heart of Fairhaven here, and like I say, within walking distance of, I mean, really walking distance, not what some people tell you, oh, yeah, it's 4 miles down there, go ahead and have a hike. You know, we're talking within a six-block area and very walkable to the bay. Half of the rooms, 12 of the rooms face Bellingham Bay and have little fireplaces and balconies, and the other side of the hotel faces the little park here where we were talking about having, you know, the festivals and things like that. My husband and I bought it 5 years ago. He fell in love with the building, and then he said, well, you know, you do realize that we'd be buying the hotel business too, don't you? and so that's where I came in. I was not a hotelier, and now I'm proud to say that I am, and I'm enjoying it very much. We joined a group of hotels, much like ourselves, owned by mom and pop small hotels all the way up and down the coast, to a group called Unique Inns. And Unique Inns has been in operation for 25 years. And so if your listeners are interested in staying in unique places, some of them are wineries, some of them are mountaintop places, some of them are bays, some of them are on the islands, they could check with Unique Inns and see what other kinds of hotels are listed. But ours is all the modern conveniences. You can bring along your computers if you must, because we're Wi-Fi'd, and we serve a continental breakfast to our guests as well.
Who do we got joining us? We got someone joining us right now.
Yes,
hey.
This is Don from Skylarks.
Yeah, Don's there too.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Yeah, let's all talk. Let's all chat.
Is that Connie and Merle?
Yeah.
Well, hello.
Hi. Well, we were mentioning about the dessert run that we were doing.
Yeah, it seems like by the time you got to Skylarks, you were just barely crawling along.
Yes, and I have to. What were the places we went? Do you remember where we went to? Something
Let's
with tapas,
see. Yeah, there was Flats Tapas Bar.
Flats, right?
Gosh, you went to the Colophon Cafe.
Right. Then
did you go to Fino?
We went to Dirty Dan's.
Dirty Dan's. I don't remember the whole list. I didn't get to go on the tour.
What I was mentioning to her as well.
Did you miss out on it too, Connie?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll figure out what it was. But this is me as a foodie talking. So, I mean,
yes.
I can't help. But, and I just want to tell my listeners that what happened was that it's not that anybody else was bad or anything, the desserts. It's just that your desserts were the best.
Oh, as far as I'm
concerned, and I was so upset because I went, oh, I'm too full to eat this, you know. Hey, say hello. Wait, hang on a second. Say hello.
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 I am Randy from the Silver Reef Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Ferndale, Washington.
Yeah, I just thought I'd let her say something. Okay. Let's continue. So what were the desserts? We had the macadamia mousse.
Yes, you had the macadamia mousse. You had our espresso cheesecake.
Espresso cheesecake and the bread pudding.
Yes.
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 Now, the reason I'm having you on, just so everybody knows also, is because you are the owner and sort of chef. I mean, you don't do all the cooking.
No,
right?
we're too big for that. We're open from 7 in the morning till midnight, and so I can't be in the kitchen all day. But I do all the creative work, and for instance, those desserts that I had you try are some new additions that I created freshen up. My dessert menu hadn't changed in a couple of years, and I wanted to bring on some new things. And when I heard that I had guests coming in, I wanted to make sure that you got to try the new stuff. And so actually the desserts you had, I still don't even have recipe cards printed for them yet. I'm still getting that worked out.
Oh, good. You'll have to give them to me when I do my article. This way I can let people know, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
that would be great.
But, of course, naturally, you know, desserts aren't the only things you have here. What other things do you specialize in?
Well, we try to do lots of seafood for our dinner menu. We have prawns and halibut, and we also have a really nice New York steak on, and we have a mixture of
I got to ask you this question.
Yes.
Why is it called a New York steak?
Ooh, you got me on that one. Why it's necessary? It's the type of cut. It's taken from a loin, but I don't know why they would call it a New York. To be honest,
I have to tell you a funny thing. I once asked this because I've always trying to because I used to have a California strip also. So
yeah.
I asked one waitress, I was at some place, and I actually said, so why they call this a New York strip? And she looked at me, she says, I think it's because it's in the shape of New York State. And I just said, okay, never mind. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
so tell us what else. Go ahead.
No, that's good. I don't, you know, that's a really good question. I don't know. It's funny how with food so often, things that names that food have are just things that have developed over time, and they won't even have a modern day reference. It can be in reference to the way we use the language back in the 1600s, and so it doesn't seem to make sense at all unless you actually do the research on it. But yeah, we do a lot of things here. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We try to keep things affordable and sort of home style. Do all of the usual things for breakfast, hash browns and eggs benedict, and because I have such a sweet tooth, I also have some specialty like French toast and stuff. We do a banana bread French toast where bake our own, but yeah, it's like it's dessert for breakfast really. It's a homemade banana bread, and of course it's battered and fried, and then I make with real maple syrup, I make a maple walnut glaze that we put over it instead of syrup. And we also take our homemade cinnamon rolls and batter those, and then turn those into French toast and top those with an orange cranberry glaze. And we're coming up on the time of the year where I start doing the blueberry stuffed French toast. You can probably see a theme here. Candy for breakfast is my motto.
Yeah. But now I have to say, this is Connie butting in, when I get my I have to have bacon morning when I say, yeah, I need some good old-fashioned bacon, I go over to Skylark's and I just order plain bacon and eggs, and it's just marvelous. So he's got the whole rainbow over there, that's for sure.
Well, the one thing I want to kind of get into a little bit is about the fact that it's like local foods that are used.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're really fortunate in this area because there's so much opportunity to buy local things, and I try to pick up as much regional and local items as possible. Our organic granola is produced at Nature's Path, which is a facility right here in the area. They have a plant in Blaine, and they also have one just across the border in Canada, and we buy so much of our stuff from as many local places as possible. The blueberry French toast, for instance, I just mentioned, I always wait until this time of year when the local berries start. What else do we do?
The whole area, isn't it? This whole area have a lot of, like, well, not in Fairhaven, but around Bellingham, you know, you have a lot of farms and stuff like that. You can get a lot of, local stuff. You get, like, I don't know, like cheeses and things like that. And
We have two local dairies that provide really high quality milk products. We have so many small manufacturing companies that produce other food items here that are available to us. We have two amazing farmers markets, one on Saturday downtown that allows all the sort of micro farmers to sell their products. And we also have on Wednesday afternoons, we have another farmers market here in Fairhaven. So there really is an abundance, especially during the summer, of local produce and fruits. And there are also some meat producers here. There's, I'm a little nervous, so I've forgotten the name. There's a local meat producer here.
Connie, what's the name?
Are you thinking of Appel Farms, or is that the cheese? Do they only do cheese?
Might be the cheese. There's, I think it's the Double S Ranch is the name of the place. They do beef. We don't actually get ours from there.
Double S? Did you say the double
like,
S?
S like Sam.
S. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
But I know, Connie, like, for instance, on your breakfast menu,
mm-hmm.
like, you have, like, all these muffins and stuff.
Right. We do. We buy some muffins from a place called Chuckanut Bay, and they use almost exclusively local product, Whatcom County product, eggs, milk, cream, fruit. And so when guests have those muffins, they're eating some of the best of Whatcom County. Actually, Whatcom County, a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know it for a long time, really, because we kind of assume, oh, yes, we've got lots of berries, we know that. But 60% of the nation's raspberry crop comes from Whatcom County. So, and you're right in the bloom of it right now.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what we did today. We went to, I'm trying to remember the name of the place, but here we were right there, and we were allowed to go right to pick the raspberries and eat as much as we wanted to.
You
we went crazy.
Linden. Linden?
Yeah.
In Linden. Linden.
Well, no, we weren't. This was before we got into Linden. It was a farm. I remember they had raspberries. They had tomatoes and peppers, and I'll think of it. Samson, is that
mm-hmm.
could be Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, oh yeah, eat yeah. Go ahead, go pick the raspberries and eat them. And we went, oh yeah. So yeah, we definitely know about it. I'm going to get into that later on about this whole thing with the raspberries, but I want to get what I want to also like comment. What is you have a signature dish? I meant to ask you.
Oh, it's Skylarks. Well,
yeah.
on our lunch and dinner menu, we have our butternut squash lasagna, and which. Sounds a little unusual, but it's really nice. We have it's composed of roasted butternut squash that's layered between a white cream sauce and Parmesan cheese, and it's seasoned with fresh rosemary and garlic, and the top's broiled, so it's got a nice golden brown crust to it, and it's just a rich, decadent form of lasagna that's pretty neat to the restaurant, and people just love it, and it's kind of. I actually have some customers that, when they visit from Boston to see their children at Western, they always come to the restaurant just to get that, and that's probably one of the dishes that you're not going to see anywhere else around, and that's really unique to Skylarks. Our clam chowder has won awards all over the place. In fact, the last Chuckanut Chowder Cook-Off, we were People's Choice second year in a row, and so we're kind of the chowder, the chowder kings of the neighborhood for now anyway.
Right.
But, so we're really well known for that, and my soups have, that's actually kind of where Skylark started, was with soup and sandwiches back about 15 years ago, and we have a regular calendar that we produce that has our soups listed for each month, and we're really well known for that, and several of them are. Avocado chicken has won awards, and so the soups and the lasagna are pretty unique to Skylarks, and at least the styles and the types that we have, that's probably our most unique dish, the lasagna. Anyway.
Okay, you know I'm gonna I will like you know get to have you like get me some recipes. So
okay.
I have, you know, when I'm writing up the articles, people love to see recipes. So, you know, we're going to do that.
Terrific.
If you don't mind, of course. And by the way, how long, and you've owned the restaurant for how long again?
We're coming up on 15 years now.
Okay. Do you own it by yourself, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, all by myself.
Oh, that's great.
Well, yeah, it is actually. It's nice because you get to really make decisions and see them happen, and for better or for worse, either they really work or they really don't. And you know, at the end of the day, that what you've got, you really have, and it's a lot of work, but it's satisfying, very satisfying.
Well, I'm sure it's very satisfying when you get feedback.
Yeah,
you know,
well, like this is great. You've been so
great
nice.
How great the food is. But I have to tell you, I have to tell you that we all made this sort of the same comment about, oh, my God, we should have, you know, started at Skylarks first. Except, and we felt bad for the two writers that couldn't make it. I mean, because after, like, the third place, you know, two of them went, that's it, now I can't do anymore, you know? and then we told them about it, and they went, oh my God, you know. So but anyway, that's great. Well, I have another person calling in. I think this is. Wait a minute. You know what we're going to talk about? Wait a minute. Who do I have? I forgot who I have. Who do I have calling in now?
Tom Krugman from the Washington Red Raspberry Commission.
Oh, now we're going to go talk about the raspberries. Well, if you guys, you got a choice. You guys can, like, hang on, listen, and share, or say bye-bye. Which one?
Well, Merle, it's been wonderful. It was great to meet you. I have some guests that I need to meet here at the inn. And,
not a problem.
So I'll have to say goodbye. But thank you so much for coming to Fairhaven and for asking me to be on your show.
Oh, okay, great. Take care. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
This is Don.
Don, do you want to hang?
Well, you know, I have to run as well. I'm really sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
It's Friday night in the restaurant business, and I've got a dining room full of of guests.
Okay.
So
that works
for
me.
It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure
for
me, too. And yes, and thank you for the wonderful, for those great desserts.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you want the recipe,
I'll be in touch.
Let me know.
Yeah, in case I need anything from you for my articles, I'll, you know, give you a call, okay?
Okay, terrific.
Okay, have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about raspberries. I was already commenting, by the way, about when we got to, is it Samson's? Is that where we were?
Samson Estates, the winery.
Yeah, is that where we're picking the raspberries?
Right, where we had lunch and, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't have my notes in front of me because I was commenting about that. They said, "Oh, go ahead, just pick them right off and then eat them." And we went, ah! "Just give me this whole row. I'll continue."
That's right. That's the best way. You know, fruit right off the cane like that. It's sweet. The temperature is nice, and you can't beat it.
I have, and by the way, I just want to as far as feedback. Now I've gone to some place to get some farm and have tasted raspberries like right off, and it's still not the same. They're definitely different. Why are they different?
Well, I think if you've gone to a farm and they're picking for the fresh market versus where you were today, where they're picking to freeze, the fresh market, the berries are not going to be, they can't be at that peak of ripeness because they have a short shelf life. So they're picking them to be able to go through the process of being packed and being shipped and getting to the grocer and going to your home and all that. But when you, today, or any of the farms where they're picking for freezing, they're picking them at the peak of ripeness because within an hour of that berry being picked, it's been frozen. So it's going to lock in the freshness and it's fully ripe. And so, and because it's been on the cane longer, it's got more flavor and maybe a little more color.
Uh-huh. Because they were one of the things I noticed, and tell me like if I'm wrong or just whatever, or why. What I noticed about these raspberries is it wasn't so as like seedy. Is that the word? Best way to put
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's a lot of people ask about why there's so many seeds in raspberries, and there certainly are, and that's part of the fruit. And I'm not sure if the varieties are so much different in fresh market or processing that might be, or because the fruit that you had today was so much riper that the seeds are farther along and they're not, you just don't notice them as much.
Oh, okay. So that's what it is, because the seeds are farther along. So in other words, the riper it is and the farther along, the less, that's, in other words, the seeds have blossomed.
Well, they're closer. If that fruit is left on the cane there, and when it drops, that's the beginning of replenishing itself. That's why trees and berries, why they fruit, is it's part of the replenishment process of recreating itself. And so they're closer to being ready to be able to germinate. And so I think the hard skin that they might have on them, or a hard shell, is already starting to soften up.
I mean, these probably are great raspberries for cooking, because in terms of like when, because a lot of times when someone is doing, let's say, a raspberry sauce or things like that, then they have to strain it to get out the seeds.
Right.
You know, but right. These, because they don't have that much, I mean, I found them just absolutely wonderful. Why do the raspberries grow so well over here?
Well, we're really fortunate in Western Washington. It's a combination of soil and climate and sunshine and rainfall and winter chilling hours. It's a combination of everything. And interestingly, the kind of the history of farming in the area where you were today, the first people that came in, predominantly the Dutch, they started dairies, and they took the lower ground that stayed moist longer, because it meant that the grasses they were growing for the cows to graze on stayed green longer, and the areas where were a little higher in elevation that dried out. Well, the last of the people that came in, a lot of them from Missouri, to grow berries, that they wound up with those soils. And it turns out those are just better soils for growing raspberries. They like a little drier soil, and it's just a combination of good loamy soils and right amount of moisture, and just very fortunate that we have the raspberries in Washington.
So when you were commenting today something about how much because of the raspberries, how much you provide to the country, or what?
If you go to the grocery store and you go into the freezer aisle and you get a poly pouch, a plastic pouch of frozen IQF berries, the chances are very good that they're out of Washington. About 90-95% of the processed berries come out of Washington. A few come out of Oregon, but almost entirely from Washington. And I think that Washington has very little of its crop goes to the fresh market, which is too bad, because it's a wonderful product. But I think because of where we are and shipping distances and everything, that the crop that grew, or the industry that grew, was a processing raspberry industry.
So let me ask you a question. So, like, I'm living in New York, I can't get these, can I?
Fresh, but you certainly can frozen.
I can get them frozen. Now, how would I be able to get them frozen?
Well, if you go to your grocer and go into the frozen food section where they have frozen fruit, if there's a poly bag, a plastic bag with raspberries in there, like I say, they're probably going to be from Washington.
Oh, so I should like take a look though to see if they are.
Oh yeah,
from Washington.
Yeah, it would show the source.
Because the reason I'm asking this is because I'll get raspberries, let's say, from Trader Joe's, frozen, and they still have that kind of, you know, full of seed kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some and some of the berries. There are some berries that come into the United States from Chile, processed berries.
Okay.
And so that may be part of it. And but you know, the IQF, the individual quick frozen berries, tend to come out of Washington.
Oh, cool.
And if the, you know, and so it's one of those things that for some parts of the country, they never really get fresh raspberries. Maybe in the Midwest because of shipping distances and the how the shelf life of the crop. And for people like that, and or during the winter, for anybody that wants to bring a little bit of sunshine into a gray winter and have some color in their the foods they're making, frozen raspberries are there and they're ready for them to use. Or the benefits of frozen, of course, is you don't have any spoilage or waste. You, a lot of times you bring fresh berries home, and a day or so later, you're starting to see, you know, they're breaking down or they might mold. Well, you don't have that in a frozen berry because they're ready when you want to use them, and the defects have been sorted out, and so you just have good wholesome berries to use.
Okay.
Another great alternative.
By the way, can you like pick up on a on my line on a what do you call it, like on another phone? Because we got somebody here who's very local. Let's see, it says 142. Can you do that? Okay, we're looking to see if we can do this. Otherwise, let's see. You know what? Wait, I'll tell you what. How's this? I try and see. Am I there? Did you got me?
I'm here.
Still there? Okay.
I'm here, yep.
No, I was looking to see if I could do this. Are you there? Let's see.
I'm here. Hey.
No, you're not getting. Okay, see if you can. I said 140. No, okay. Keep fiddling around until you can see if you can get on my line. We got somebody from tourism over here who's going to chat.
Okay.
Who's going to listen in? But anyway, so because I, you know, if there's a way. If there's a somebody, you know, local purveyor or whatever, that so I can get these, you know, shipped to me. I mean, I'd love to have these raspberries. And it's really my favorite fruit. But
why is it your favorite fruit? I'll turn to ask you why. I'm curious why it's your favorite.
It's the flavor. There's something about the flavor of raspberry that is just. When they're sweet,
mm-hmm.
that's so perfect because it's such it's a combination of the flavor and these and the liquidy the I'm not even sure and it's my favorite fruit to pair with chocolate too.
Oh, you bet. Well, and I think some of it too is that. You know, especially like the raspberries with the bittersweet chocolate, and so it's partly the sweetness and the flavor, and it's the acidity in them. And I think you know what you notice today, and why the frozen berry raspberries are great is that they lock in that flavor. Where a fresh berry that might have been picked a week before to be able to get to your market, it tends to be a little more tart. At least that's what I see. You know, a lot of the fresh market berries are a little more tart. And you don't have quite the flavor and the juiciness. And the other thing that's great about raspberries or any of the real brightly colored fruits is they're good for you. We're doing a lot of nutrition research on raspberries, and they're shown to help in not preventing cancers, but in or curing, but helping to prevent some. And they're good for your cognitive function, your thinking ability, and they're good for heart health. And so a lot of the brightly colored fruits and raspberries are way up there, are part of that. And raspberries, interestingly enough, as a fruit, have the lowest calorie content per gram of fruit of any of the berries. So, you know, you can really feel free to eat them and indulge, and boy, am I going to eat a lot and get fat. No, you're getting the fiber you need at a low-calorie content, and that's a great combination.
That's really great. You know, we're going to continue talking about, can you hang for a while? You're busy.
Oh, sure. No, I'm fine. I pulled off the road so I don't get into an accident.
Oh, okay, because we're going to go into talking more about the local food, right? We got somebody else that's in. Say hi.
Oh, yep. We've got
yes.
Tony here.
Yes. Tell us who you are and what you do and why you're calling here. Who are you anyway?
Okay. My name is Shoni Schlosshauer, and I'm the Food and Farming Program Manager at Sustainable Connections here in Bellingham. And I had the pleasure of meeting you on this chef and or this culinary tour. And so I guess you had wanted to hear a little bit more about the Food and Farm Finder and some of the work
yeah,
with the program.
Yeah,
program.
Yeah, tell
okay.
Me.
Well, the Food and Farm Finder is one of the projects of Sustainable Connections, and it is a small booklet, a small but robust little booklet, with that lists local farms and fishers and restaurants and grocers and markets and all of the places in Whatcom County that you can find great local food. And there are 132 businesses listed in it, which we're quite proud of in a community this size to have that many local food establishments, food and agriculture establishments. And it's been a really great resource for our community. We print 30,000 of them, and we distribute them to over 200 locations in Whatcom County. And it's been a model for a lot of other communities for creating farm and food guides of their own.
So, like, what kind of local foods? What are we all talking about?
Well, what we've got, we
sustainable, rather.
Whatcom County produces over 100 different food and agricultural products from the businesses that are listed in the Food and Farm Finder. So we've got businesses in here that range from you-pick farm operations, where you can go out to the fields and pick your own fruit or raspberries, as you were just talking about, or strawberries, or all different kinds of U-pick operations. We've got a lavender U-pick. We've got apples, flowers, all different kinds of things you can go and gather yourself. We've also got a whole lot of different farm stands, places that are open for business on a daily or nearly daily basis, where you can go directly out to the farm and have a little farm experience and meet the folks that grow your food. We also have about 18 different community-supported agriculture operations in the Food and Farm Finder. And community-supported agriculture is one of my favorite ways of farm marketing, where the customers of the farm are considered members, and it's kind of like a subscription. You pay at the beginning of the year for your share of the harvest, and throughout the season, you get an installment of that share, usually on a weekly basis. And we've got community-supported agriculture farms primarily doing produce, fruits, and vegetables, but we also have a mushroom community-supported agriculture and some fisheries that participate in community-supported agriculture. And we have one group in town called Growing Washington that combines products from several different farms to make a more diverse market basket, and that's the All Whatcom CSA. And so that's a really popular way of supporting local farmers, and it's great for the farmers too, because then they get their capital costs at the beginning of the season, kind of their seed money, so to speak, literally and figuratively, at the beginning of the season before their products are even available. And then as a shareholder in that farm, you get a share of the harvest all season long. So if there's a bumper crop of those raspberries, then you get a whole lot of great raspberries. And if there's if a crop doesn't come through, then you share that risk along with the farmer.
Now, you said this, you were telling us that you have a whole brochure, right? Isn't there a whole brochure so people can find all these
yeah.
places?
Yes, and it's fully indexed, and there's a large fold-out map of the county and that folds out from the back cover that includes icons throughout the county for different farms and restaurants that are listed. So it's a really user-friendly, handy publication, and it can be downloaded, too, from our website, which is sustainableconnections.org, and just printed straight off of our website as well.
Okay. You know, by the way, you know, do you realize if they had nose farms, you know, no NOSC, nose farms, they would say, it would be you pick your own?
Oh, dear.
but I guess
I will refrain from naming any farming endeavor in my future.
Okay. No, but
there used to be a line about that. You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but
can't pick your friend's nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they would say if your nose was on strike, would you pick it? Yeah. But anyway, to get back to this, I warned you.
That's what I was in for here.
So is this just for this particular area?
It is. This is a Whatcom County Food and Agriculture Guide, so it's particularly mm-hmm. most relevant to folks that live in Whatcom County and also visitors. Our local Tourism Bureau distributes a whole lot of them to guests that come to Whatcom County. And but there are many, many other communities all across the country that are putting together farm guides of their own, and they take all different kinds of shape. One great national resource for folks is a website called localharvest.org, and
mm-hmm.
that is a searchable database where you can search for farms in your vicinity. So you can narrow it down depending on where you are or what specific kind of farm you're looking for or specific kind of product you're looking for. So it's a great resource.
That's really great. So and now that, like, after raspberries, I mean, the raspberry season would be over, what would be the next thing happening here?
We've got quite a lot of blueberries in Whatcom County as well.
Blueberries.
And the amount of, or the number of acres planted in blueberries in Whatcom County is increasing quite a lot over the past few years. So we're looking forward to blueberry season here coming up.
Blueberries, okay. Well, they're okay. They're not my favorite. I like the wild blueberries better than the regular
and huckleberries. We'll be heading up into the mountains here a little bit in the yeah. late summer and fall for mountain huckleberries, and that's my all-time favorite, I have to say.
Oh, okay. So now, as if we didn't have enough doing dessert, say, Randy, what are we having for dessert tonight?
Our special dessert.
Wait. Hang on here. You got to listen to this. As if we didn't do enough desserts.
Our specialty dessert cart will be rolled over to the table. They'll have their choice of a molten lava cake, an espresso chocolate cup, an espresso chocolate cup with tiramisu in it. Their choice of either flambéed bananas Foster or cherries Jubilee. And then we have our signature Rockettes cake that has little legs sticking up from the skirt. So we're going to take very good care of them.
You guys are hogging the fun.
That'll be 15 minutes after we eat a Nimbus, right? Perfectly timed. Oh, man. This is so...
I'm going to need to get going here.
Yeah, okay.
But good talking with you, and enjoy the rest of your
time.
Sure,
if I need any more information on raspberry. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know, why is the expression like, you know, a raspberry, like when you... You know, when you go, why is it called a raspberry?
I don't know. And that's,
sitting
that's
all
a,
the seeds out. That's the answer I just got from Randy.
Okay. Well,
okay.
That's,
we'll go with
I'll
that.
Remember that one. That's a good answer.
All right. We'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks, Merle. Bye
okay.
Now.
You're welcome. Now you can continue, though. We're not letting you go because we got 6 minutes to the end of the show.
All right. Let's fill it up with something good. Well, have you learned any more details about what you're going to be enjoying at Nimbus tonight?
No, I have no idea what we're having at Nimbus. Do you know what we're having at Nimbus?
It's a secret.
It's a secret. Oh, I understand, because the thing was all about, where were we?
Farm.
What was it?
Cloud Mountain Farm.
Okay, so we were at Cloud Mountain Farm. That's the surprise, is they don't want to tell us what the... yeah.
Well, I'm sure that Josh has something very special lined up
for
you.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely fantastic, fantastic
chef. Okay, really cool.
And he works with a lot of local farms. That's one really great thing about what's happening in Whatcom County is that the most fabulous local chefs are pairing up with the most fabulous local farms and really putting together some spectacular menus. And Nimbus is a leader in that effort in Whatcom County. Josh does a really fantastic job working with local producers and really puts together a nice menu. And it's the tallest building in Bellingham, and so you'll be enjoying your meal from the 14th floor of the Bellingham Towers with a spectacular view. And on a day like this, you're going to enjoy that a lot.
Can we see Mount Baker from Nimbus?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And the,
no
and the
shit.
Whole Bellingham Bay.
Wow.
It's going to be good.
That'll be great.
I'm gonna
like let you go, but I'm gonna be continuing this whole thing like next week when I get back to New York. I'll probably do a 2-hour show.
Wonderful.
To get more information on this whole trip because this has really been this has been great. About you know I'm sorry I got to leave tomorrow morning. Everybody's going to the farms or whatever. No, what are we doing tomorrow that I'm not going to do? What are we doing tomorrow that I'm not going to do?
We're doing Bellingham Farmers Market.
Bellingham Farmers Market, primarily, yeah. Coast Salish Day at Boulevard Park. Well, I'll have you tell us. Next week, we'll have you call in and tell me what I missed and rub it in.
Okay, I'd be glad.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right, cuz I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to end the show. I appreciate that you called in and I'll get in touch with you when I do the article if I need, you know, more info from you.
Great. Well, thanks
okay.
so much for coming out to Whatcom County and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay and come back
I soon. Certainly will.
All right.
All right, have
care.
A great evening.
You as well. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, yes. Food, 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 glorious food. Wait a minute, it's been 15 minutes.
Oh,
my God, it's been an hour. It's almost an hour since. Help, feed me. Well, I'm going to end the show right now. So, yep, tune in next week. Hell knows what I'm going to have, of course. We've got more. We got to talk about the hotel.
Absolutely.
But since I didn't stay tonight yet. I haven't can't even share anything about the hotel to talk about in the first place. So I wouldn't want to. We want to wait till next week when we can really get into this. Yeah, maybe they'll let me sleep. So okay. So until next week, everybody, have a great evening, day, life, or whatever you're doing. Let me go find my ending music here. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, listen to me next week and check out on the site. You can see some. I'll be putting up some photos and some YouTube stuff. So, bye everybody. Well done.
Carlos is my husband, Eric.
I'm sorry.
She hasn't spending only a day with me. She pities you.
You know, it's funny because did you put this down here while I was sitting here?
Yes.
You know, I look. I'm turning to this and I'm going. Oh. I'm going. Did I bring this down with me? Wearing it.
I'm gonna take it to Loretta's husband. But I'm a fool. I did not put one of these in your goodie bag. There, luggage identifiers. Travel writers need luggage identifiers. You can take
that
yarn ball off your. So what color?
Oh,
how many would you like?
Well, you don't have blue, so I guess
that's
the blue is for the New York Sharks.
Is that the only, do they have another accent color?
But I'll take red because I like red.
Okay.
That's a great idea. All right.
Okay.
Easy enough. Can you imagine I do this every week?
Maybe.
And I usually do an hour and a half.
Wow. That's great. Well, I think he's curious.
And I have nothing in front of me.
Yeah, I know.
And I just kind of, you know, what I'm going to have to do is, like, I didn't get a chance. So, like, next week I'll go back to this, the description, and put everybody's name that I spoke with, and then put it up on, like, tag lines and stuff like that, then put up some photos and some YouTube and things like that.
And so you'll let us know how to, is it Whirl with Merle?
I'll give you this. Did I give my card?
Probably not.
Let me give you my card, and it's in my room.
Oh, I'm there tonight.
Yeah.
You're stuck with me tonight.
You have your room key?
Yes. I got the room key, but I guess we're ready to go, right?
Well, I assume you want to go back to your room for a minute before we go to dinner.
I don't have to. I mean, like, I'm set up to leave from here. That's
okay.
What I did.
No hat head.
Huh?
No hat head. All ready to go.
No, I did. You notice it's not at it.
Yep.
I got into the room
lovely.
First thing and
I put
water on the head and went in like that. It said,
good.
Oh, I got to change the clothes and, you know, like, been sweating all day. Let's get this and whatever. So I want to, I'm raring to go.
Okay. I just need to remember to get the laptop from your room.
You're so picky.
I know. I just don't want to forget it.
Me too.
I could do it later or we could do it now. Either one.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to, you know,
yeah.
We can do that.
Enjoy your dinner.
Yeah.
And I'll see you at dessert.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'll talk to you back, you know, because we'll do a whole thing on, you know, I'll figure out how to get in with you and let's see, like, maybe have someone else calling in at the same time to talk about something.
Okay.
We'll
and I want to talk to you, too, about your gay and lesbian thing that you're doing as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really reaching out to that market.
Oh,
well.
I can definitely help you with that.
Okay.
Great.
Really help you with that. Yes. Have a good dinner.
Okay.
See you
later. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I need to wash my hands. And I'll be right back.
Huh? Are you here with the contract?
No.
No, that's going to change. That's right. What the hell?
So Brewers, by the way, is here. What else did we commit to? So Brewers, by the way, is here. When is the car show?
August 16th.
August.
That's it.
Sunday? Corvette show? And our other commitment was October something for Blue Skies, right?
Oh, yeah. October 17th.
Okay, and then you and Shannon have weddings. Oh, you guys better talk to the bride, huh? You and Shannon have weddings when?
September 5th.
Wait, August. You have that.
August 29th, that's the one you have to do there, right?
The Golf and Country Club.
Then I have a class reunion, most likely.
On the 8th?
On the 8th.
That's one here.
Yep.
And then you and Shannon have the 5th and 6th of September?
Yes, 5th of September. Oops. And 6th. Those are not quite confirmed yet.
Okay. Okay, and then we're going to go to, I got EDAS Friday, next Friday, and then we're going to go to Deborah's on Saturday.
EDAS is a golf tournament, right?
Yeah, that wine thing.
Yeah.
That board.
I guess you leave for...
Oh, did you talk to Melissa?
Yeah. So I pay you. You know what? If I just call my wife, and my wife is not there, I know who's going to do it. Melissa.
Yes.
And your daughter.
Yes.
And I told her, well, luckily for you, this time I want to talk to you. I'm not looking for my wife.
Do you have that CD with you now? Yes. Can we just leave it on her desk?
Is it going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, the thing she needs it for is tomorrow.
Right here?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can just put it in the collar.
Where's my sunglasses? You should do that. You should do a radio show. Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Does she know how many listeners she has?
Well, profile views is 12,578. Oh. Your shows, 5,664 shows, your listens, 418. So is that 418 spread out of the whole 5,000 shows?
Interesting.
Very
interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, see, my
problem is
I can't talk so much.
Well, you have to put the music on.
Well, that was a big screw-up. Well, let me walk to the car and get the...
Okay, I'll check my voicemail. If I'm not here, I'm in the bathroom. Oh, at Samson Winery, it was Brian and Tina from Hagen. Brian the chef.
Oh, okay.
So I got to see him.
Oh, okay. So what are you waiting for now?
Actually, I don't have anything until 9:30.
9:30? Okay. Finish
so, we can have some dinner here. Brennan God, Brennan should be coming back soon here. So Brennan and Toledo and their gals.
So what should we have? Well, let's go. What should we have dinner?
A
buffet or a bar?
Whatever you feel like.
Okay.
We could do pizza nini or whatever you feel like.
Yeah, that's right.
Or just sit at the bar. Just remind me to take my badge off if we go to the bar. What is that?
Huh? Message?
Well, that's more. Why is my line blinking like that?
I just get on internet.
But no.